Thank you. That was beautiful. Our Old Testament reading today can be found in your pew Bible on page 596, and it is Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out the wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do for my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds, and that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke in the 12th chapter, verses 49 through 56. Let us listen anew to the stories that we know. This story, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and they've done the parables of having your lamps ready for when the bridegroom comes, and also of the landowner leaving his property to a steward. They were parables. Jesus does not speak in a parable in this reading. I've come to light a fire on the earth. How I wish the blaze were ignited already. There is a baptism I must still receive, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I am here to bring peace on earth? I tell you, the opposite is true. I've come to bring division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus said again to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say that rain is coming, and so it does. When the wind blows from the south, you say it's going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, if you can interpret the portents of earth and sky, why can you not interpret the present time? May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. I can only imagine that Jesus' words in Luke's telling this morning are catching his disciples and his followers completely off guard. I know the first time that I heard it, and probably the next 10 times that I heard it, I was taken aback. There have been so many conversations on this text. The disciples have been hearing Jesus speak of peace, of God's kingdom, of lilies in the field and sweetness and the prodigal being welcomed back home. But now he says, I come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to earth? No, I tell you, have come to bring division. Hard words. Hard words from a man that we want to love and follow.
Right.
This is not the gentle watercolor Jesus that we hang up in the Sunday school classroom. This is not the Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders, nor the one in the garden knocking on the door. So many pastoral scenes. This is the Jesus who is being clear on his message and using extremely direct language. This is the Jesus who knows that speaking truth in a world invested in injustice will upset the status quo. This is a Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, telling his disciples one more time, listen up. An upset people is what he had. An upset people will always be divided. But it's not the only place that we hear that jarring tone this morning. Our Old Testament reading that Tony shared from Isaiah begins with what sounds like a love song. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning the vineyard. But it very quickly becomes a breakup song. It's a lament. God cared for the vineyard tenderly, planting, clearing stones, choosing the best vines, watching for that harvest of sweet grapes. But the vineyard yielded wild grapes. It yielded bitter fruit. And God says, what more was there for me to do? I will remove the hedge. I will make it a waste. I will take down all of the protection and let the invaders come in. Around here, I can imagine that means taking down all the deer fencing and letting the deer come in. Both Isaiah and Jesus speak, though, from a place of love. It doesn't sound like it, but they are actually speaking words of love. But it's a love that is extremely unafraid of telling the hard truths. So we need to be very clear when we listen to these texts. God is not angry with us. He's not angry because people failed to be flawless. God knows that we have our flaws. This is not about missing a few religious checkboxes. Getting the survey that says, did you go to church? Did you tithe? Did you participate in a Bible study? Did you sign up to teach Sunday school or do coffee hour or clean the pews? Isaiah says explicitly, God expected justice and saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Justice and righteousness in Scripture are always about how people treat other people. The vulnerable, the marginalized, the weary, and the outcast. The Hebrew words, mishpat, which is for justice, and tzedakah, for righteousness, aren't just abstract moral virtues. They are tangible, lived commandments. It's fair courts. It's honest weights and measures. It's food for the hungry, welcome for the stranger, shelter for the poor. God's frustration is the frustration of the gardener who has done everything possible for the vines to flourish, but finds instead that greed has choked out generosity and self-interest has strangled compassion. And Isaiah's reading walks hand in hand with Jesus' text this morning. When Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, he was speaking as a prophet. Fire that burns away injustice. Fire that clears the ground for new life. Fire that refines what is good. But fire also divides. It demands a choice. Will you warm yourself by the light and join in the work? Or will you back away because the cost feels too dangerous and too high? In Luke's passage, Jesus warns that even families will be split over this choice. this decision on working with and in justice and setting the world aright. It sounds harsh. It is harsh. Nobody wants a divided family, and yet we all live this. I think every single one of us can share a story where we are estranged from somebody in it over some action that was done. We live this, and we want Jesus and we want God to make it all better, because nobody wants a family that is split or fractured. The story is hard, but it's a look. But if we look at it in the context of the first century Palestine, where Jesus was at that time, following Jesus meant rethinking who had power, who has the wealth and how is it used, and whether Rome's oppression was to be resisted or accepted. I can only imagine the families that were in distraught and fractioned because some want to follow the Roman rule and others go, we don't want to live under that. Where the wealth was used. Today, we know that speaking up for what is right can put us at odds with the people we love and care for. Have we not all experienced this? If Isaiah's vineyard is God's people, and jumping over to John, we hear Jesus say that he is the vine and we are the branches, then we must ask ourselves, what fruit is our vineyard producing? Do we see the sweet grapes of compassion and honesty and solidarity? Or do we see the sour grapes of inequity, governmental neglect, and the indifference to suffering? And this isn't about the world out there. It's about us. It's about this congregation and every other congregation in this county. It's inside and outside of these four walls. It's our communities, it's our county, it's our own personal choices. We can have a beautiful worship, a well-tended to sanctuary. We've got brand new carpet, steam cleaned pews this week. All of the woodwork has been wiped down. The windows are all clean. Right? We've got a beautiful, brand new, put together sanctuary. And yet we can still wield wild grapes if we don't let God's justice shape our relationships, shape our spending, shape our politics and our policies. If we don't allow God's justice and love to shape our daily lives. In both Isaiah and Luke, God's words sound extremely confrontational. And it's because they are. They are written to be confrontational. But confrontation in Scripture is never about humiliation. It's about restoration. God calls out the injustice so that we can turn from it. Jesus warns of division not because he enjoys conflict, but because he knows that the work of healing the world will disrupt the systems that thrive on inequality. Love that never risks upsetting anyone is not really love. If we love but we're not willing to upset somebody, it's not really love. It is comfort. It is placating. God's love is not just comforting love. It's not always the shh that we do to the babies when they get antsy and upset to settle us in. It's also transforming, and transformation requires truth-telling. The good news is that the gardener did not give up on the vineyard forever. Fire in Scripture is never only about destruction. It's about clearing and refining. Who's ever been near a huge brush pile bonfire that's used for clearing and refining? I'm going to refer back to Maine for 2 seconds, that we have low bush blueberries, and they get burned there's a pattern to burning them in their proper season so that they produce better berries. And you always know when the berry fields are on fire. And I would dare say, and I'll speak for myself, that every so often a relationship goes totally up in flames. But yet, something good comes out of that. There is refining that comes out of that. Even if we feel bruised, there is learning and love on the other side of that. The division that Jesus warns about are not the goal. The goal is not to be divided, but the cost of choosing the way of God's reign, bringing about the kingdom of God here and now. When we see injustice and speak against it, when we work for housing for the unhoused and dignity for the workers and safety for the children and make sure they get their blessings in a backpack bag, when we work for that, when we work to welcome both the immigrants and the people that work with them, food for the hungry, we may meet resistance. Actually, the truth is, we will meet resistance. But we also bear the sweet fruit that God longs for when we do that. The fire of Jesus burns away what cannot endure, so that what is holy, just, beautiful can flourish. The question is whether we will let that fire burn within us as well. Isaiah's vineyard song and Jesus' fiery words are not comfortable. They never were meant to be. They are a call to examine the fruit that we are bearing, to tend to the soil in our lives and in our communities with the justice that God desires, and to trust that God's refining fire is at the heart, the work of love. So may we choose to stand in the light of that fire, even when it costs us, so that God's vineyard, here in our time, in our place, and in our space, may finally flourish with the sweet grapes of justice and the rich wine of compassion that Jesus offers us daily. Thanks be to God.